So it's going to be a good Wednesday night. This is our last service of 2010. And it's good to be able to come together into the house of God. Amen. And if you can, why don't you just stand up with me? And we'll just go before the Lord. Call upon His name. Heavenly Father, we come before You today, right now, in Jesus' name. And we thank You, Lord, that You are the healer. We thank You that You've come to give us life, to make us whole, to touch us in our bodies and our spirits and our soul. And Lord, we give You thanks and praise. Your power is unmatched by anything on this earth. Your name is above every other name. Your name is above every sickness and every disease. And we give You thanks and praise, Father, that Your power is present to heal and to do a mighty work in us on every area of life. And Lord, we give You thanks and praise that You are good and greatly to be praised. You deserve all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. And Lord, we bless Your name. We thank You, Father, that Your word, it works. Your word holds up everything that You do. Thank You, Lord, that there is power in Your word. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in Your Holy Spirit. And we thank You, Lord, that we in ourselves can do nothing, but You can do all things, that nothing is impossible to You. So, Father, tonight, I just ask You to prepare our hearts by Your Holy Spirit and to help us to receive what You have for us in Jesus' name. And we give You the praise and the glory and the honor that is due Your name, for You alone are worthy. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. You may have your seats. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Say, I'm excited about God's word. Say, I'm here to receive. I'm a believer and I'm a receiver. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, and that's where we're going to begin for tonight. I'm just simply entitling this that healing is for today. Everybody say today. Today. Healing is not something that passed away, but just as Jesus, when He walked this earth, He healed people. He delivered them from sickness. He is still doing that today because our God never changes. If He healed then, He heals now. So healing is for today. Say that with me. Say healing is for today. Say healing is for me. Say I'm here to receive my healing. Hallelujah. And in Luke chapter 4 and verse 16, and the Bible says, and He came to Nazareth where He had been brought up. And as His custom was, everybody say His custom. Jesus was accustomed to going to church. He was accustomed gathering with believers. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it is written. Aren't you glad He found the place? Amen? Guess what? He knows exactly where you are. He knows what you're dealing with, and He can handle it. Amen? Our God is good. Hallelujah. And it said, he began to read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal. Everybody say to heal. The brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He closed the book, He gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Him. This was probably the most powerful reading they ever experienced. It wasn't just someone just reading some words, but He was reading from the Word of Life. And so God, Jesus has been equipped. He's been anointed. This is his sole duty to deliver from sickness and disease. Amen? And I like what Adam Clark said about this. He said he was designed and set apart for this very purpose. His sole business among men is to proclaim glad tidings to the poor. All the functions of this new prophet were exercised on the hearts of men, and the grace by which he works in the heart is grace of healing, deliverance, and illumination. And he causes people to pass from sickness to health. How many want to pass from sickness to health? Amen? He causes us to go from slavery to liberty. Amen? Liberty is better than slavery. Right? He causes us to go from darkness to light. It's much easier to get around in the light, isn't it? And from the lowest degree of misery to the supreme eternal happiness. I thought that was really good. And sickness can incapacitate a person. It restricts movement and activity, right? Say sickness is a thief. It'll steal your time, your energy, your money, right? Sickness costs, right? You have medical bills, doctor's visits, treatments, medicines, and other things. And those cost, don't they? Even if you have insurance, you have to have a copay, right? There's something that you pay. So sickness costs. It can affect a person emotionally, all right? Sickness can bring depression. It can bring you down, all right? It can pull your countenance down. It can be like a weight that people carry around. But God wants to heal you wholly, spirit, soul, and body. He wants to heal your bodies. He heals our spirit when we get born again, all right? He doesn't heal our spirit. He actually gives us a new spirit. He makes us into new creatures. Old things are passed away. But then we have our emotions and our body. And our emotions and our bodies can get messed up. How do they get messed up? Because sin is in the world. And our bodies and our emotions, they contact this world. But you know what? God can heal your emotions. He can heal your body. He not only can, he wants to. He is willing. Healing is God's will. I want you to say that. Say healing is God's will. Let's say that again. Healing is God's will. One more time. Healing is God's will. All right? We got to know that. You cannot go beyond the knowledge of God's will. You've got to know that God is willing and he wants to. He wants to and he's willing to heal us. All right? And healing has been and is God's will now and throughout history, all right? God has not changed his mind or will about healing and health, all right? Go with me to Exodus chapter 15. Let's just look at some things in the Old Testament, and we're going to see how they relate to us in the New Testament, all right? You think the Old Testament and the New Testament covers the span of history? Yes, it does. You got the old and the new, and they all talk about healing. Amen? Exodus 15, verse 26. Notice what it says. He said, "And if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God..." You know what? We ought to pay more attention to his voice than some other voices. What is God saying to me about this situation? God, what do you want me to do about this situation? You've gotten this opinion, you've gotten that opinion, and others just threw in their opinion for free, but what is God saying? We got to diligently hearken to his voice and do that which is right in his sight. You got to be a doer of the word. Say, I'm a doer. Those who do the word are the ones who are blessed. And give ear to his commandments. Keep all his statutes. All right, say that's my part. And notice what his part is. I will put none, everybody say none, of the diseases upon you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am, everybody say am. What tense is that? Present tense. What does he say? I am the Lord that heals you. He didn't say I was the Lord, did he? He said, I am the Lord. And what is he here to do? He is the healer. He said, I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord who heals you. Aren't you glad that God heals you? Notice he didn't say he put sickness on you. He said he heals you. This is God's will. This is God's heart, all right? He is your healer. You've got to, just as much as he is your Savior, you've got to take him as your healer as well. You know, we could preach a salvation message, and then we can give an altar call, and people will come front and receive the Lord. Well, if we preach a healing message, what do you think we should receive? Healing, right? If you get the healer, you get healing with it, all right? And he takes sickness and disease away. Go with me to Psalm 30. Psalm 30. You know, you may have picked up some junk in 2010. Some emotional baggage of things that you've gone through, things that have happened to you, things that weren't planned in your life. But you know what? You don't need a psychiatrist. You don't need a psychologist. You need the Holy Ghost. Amen? And God can touch you. He'll give you joy for mourning. He'll turn your sorrow into dancing. Amen? This is how God can affect you in the emotional realm. But you got to be willing to let go of your baggage. You got to be willing to check your baggage in. Amen? You're not designed to carry that emotional baggage around. It's time. Tonight is the night where you can give it to the Lord. Amen? He can release that burden from you. He can remove that weight from you. Because why? Our God wants you healed. He wants you whole. Psalm 30. I'm getting excited. I don't know about you. Verse 1. Psalm 30, verse 1. I will extol thee, O Lord, for you have lifted me up. Notice, lifted me up. He didn't put you down. He lifted you up. And has not made my foes to rejoice over me. Did you know that sickness is a foe? It's an enemy. You've got to treat sickness like an enemy. You've got to resist it. You would not allow someone, you would not say, okay, I want you to rob my house at 8 o'clock tonight. I'm going to leave the key under the mat. You just come in and you rob me. You take everything that I have and everything is going to be okay. You're not going to treat a thief like that. But then why do we welcome sickness? Why do we take ownership of sickness and disease and infirmity and weakness? You ever, people say, this is my sickness. Really? How did it become yours? Who gave it to you? Did you know if someone delivers something to your address and you didn't want it, you can send it back? You don't have to receive it. Amen? Verse 2, O Lord my God, I cried unto you, and you have healed me. Everybody say, he healed me. See, he responded to your cry. He responds to your cry. When you're hurting, could be in your body, could be in your mind, you can cry out to God, and he will hear that cry. He said, that's one of my kids crying. I'm going to meet that need. I'm going to take care of what they want. God is interested in you. Everything he did, it was so that you and I, go with me to Psalm 41. Verse 3. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing or sickness. What's he going to do? He's going to strengthen you. Did you know that sometimes when someone is sick, you can get weak? You can be like, oh, I just don't feel like getting up. But God's strength can come in when you're on the bed of sickness. You will make all his bed in sickness. You will restore him to health. You know, when you make a bed, you clear the mess up. Like if you get out of bed, you know, the covers are all scrunched up. But when you make the bed, you put everything neat, everything in order. God restores order to your body. That's what he wants to do. Why? Because healing is for today. It's for tomorrow too, but it's for today. Go with me to Psalm 147. 147. Psalm 147. Verse 3. He heals the broken heart. You know, a broken heart can cause a lot of pain. I'm sure that we could tell stories of, in some way, how our heart was broken. But God wants to heal the broken heart and bind up the wounds. You know, when you bind up a wound, it prevents it from getting infected. It prevents a loss of blood. It causes the body to heal itself. If you get a cut and you can bind up that cut, eventually you can remove that binding and that body, that part that has been cut will have been healed with new skin. I have a scar right here in my hand. I don't know what happened to get that scar, but it happened long ago when I was a young child. But there's skin over where it was cut. Why? Because God designed the body to heal. God's will is to heal. All right? Go with me to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Look at verse 23. Jesus was carrying on the Father's will. And notice what he did in verse 23. Jesus went about all Lebanon County, teaching at VCF and in other churches, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And what was he doing to sickness? Healing all manner. Everybody say all manner. That's every type, every condition. God was healing it. He didn't say, oh, I'm sorry, I can't do anything about that condition. That's a special condition. No. Healing, he went about teaching, preaching, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Where was he doing it? Among people. Because people were the ones who were being affected by sickness. Guess what? If Jesus was teaching, preaching, and healing, guess what? He's still teaching. He's teaching through me. He's preaching through me, and he's healing through me. I'm not the healer, but he is. His message on healing is going forth, and he confirms his word with signs following. Amen. He works with us, confirming his word. His word does not lie. If Jesus was then healing all manner of sickness and disease, he is still healing all manner of sickness and disease. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 53. Did you know that what we're doing right now is I'm giving you some medicine? God's word is medicine. It's health to all your flesh. To those that find God's word, it's health to your flesh. It's life to you. It's strength to you. It's power to you. Does that excite you? Well, you ought to show if you're excited. You should not be afraid to be excited about the goodness of God. This is good news. You know, I don't know anybody who receives good news. Well, yeah, that was good. I don't think the news was that good then. Listen, good news ought to affect your soul. Amen? This is exciting good news. This is what God has done for you and me. Isaiah 53, 5. He was wounded for who? For our transgressions. Listen, he did not commit a transgression, but yet he was wounded for ours. Why do you think he was wounded for ours? So that our transgressions, the effect of our transgressions could be taken away. If someone takes your punishment, you don't feel the pain. Someone else does. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our sorrows or iniquities. That word is actually sickness. I'm looking at verse 4. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Notice, he got wounded, he got bruised, and he got chastised. And what do we get? By his stripes, we are healed. Say, I am healed.
I am healed.
See, as far as God is concerned, the stripes that Jesus bore on his back when they whipped him 39 times, that's where he got the victory over sickness, over every type of sickness was dealt with from his back. Every drop of blood that he bled from his back covered every sickness. Go with me to Matthew 8:17. And I'm going rather quickly because, you know, you can only say so much and then you just got to let God move.
Amen?
Amen? Matthew 8:17. Look at this. It says, well, look at verse 16. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. He cast out the spirits with his word. And what did he do? Who did he heal? All. Everybody say all. He healed all that were sick. Look at verse 17. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So Jesus actually healed people to fulfill what Isaiah spoke years ago. What Isaiah spoke years ago still took effect when Jesus walked this earth. It was 400 or 500 years before he came. I don't know the exact amount of time. But he was healing people to fulfill what Isaiah spoke about was healing. And Jesus healed people to fulfill that word. And you know what? He's still in the healing business. When we encounter a man-made limit, you know, did you know that we have limits? Doctors are limited. Amen? People that help us, they're limited. But God is not limited. When we encounter a limit, we can then go to God who's unlimited. So don't let a limit stop you. And don't put a limit on yourself. All right? And then he goes on to say in 1 Peter 2:24, says, by his stripes you were healed. Peter was looking back to the cross and saying it was already done. That's when the payment was made. That's when our healing took place. At the cross. Amen? We're just waiting to receive what's already been done. All right? Now, God has equipped and empowered Jesus and his body to reverse the effects of sickness and disease and to heal, restore, repair, and make new bodies that were broken. Hallelujah. Did you know who is his body? We are. Go with me to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. And in this case, Jesus was talking to his 12 disciples, all right? His disciples are part of his body, right? You and I are disciples, aren't we? Hopefully, you're a disciplined follower of the Lord. And notice what he told them. In verse 5, these 12 sent forth and commanded them saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. What did he say in the first part of verse 8? Heal the sick. Was that a suggestion? Did he say, as you're on your way, maybe you might get some people healed? No, it sounds to me like that was a command. He's telling his disciples, you and I, to do the very same thing that he did, and that is to heal the sick. Now, are we the healer? No, but we represent him. We're his body. We are his hands, his feet. He's the head. We're the body. And you know what? His body is just as anointed as the head. The same anointing that was on the head is on the body. The same spirit that was ministering to the head ministers to the body. Amen? The same anointing that breaks yokes on the through the head is the same anointing that breaks yokes through the body. All right? So we are his body. Go with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And he tells them in verse 9, heal the sick. This is 70 now. He appointed other 70 also besides the 12. And he said the same thing to the 70 as he said to the 12, and it was the same thing that he himself did. Heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come near you. God doesn't want any sick person in his kingdom. Sickness is not from God. Amen. You know, and I really feel led to emphasize the emotional part of this. Sometimes people's emotions are messed up. And if your emotions are messed up, it's like trying to follow a compass that doesn't work. Now, we're not to be led by our emotions, but our emotions affect us. Your emotions create an atmosphere. You can walk into a place and you can tell if there's peace or chaos, right? Because things create atmospheres. And tonight, you can really get free in the emotional realm. All the hurt, see, hurt causes your body to react. It causes a chain reaction. And then you begin to build up self-defense mechanisms. You begin to build up walls and say, I'll never let anybody hurt me again. And you eliminate ways that God can get to you. See, if you build walls against people, you're also building walls against God. And you need healing. Healing breaks down the walls. Healing helps you love again. Healing helps you get into a relationship again. Healing opens your heart. It binds up that wound so it's not an irritant. There is a balm in Gilead. Go with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Tonight is your night. All you need to do is receive. Say receive. See, you don't have to get God to do anything. You simply have to receive what he's already done. Did you have to, other than confessing Jesus as Lord, did you have to do anything else to get saved? You had to believe and confess, right? So why is receiving healing any different? Whether it's salvation or whether it's healing, it's received the same way. So why do we get hung up on receiving healing. God makes salvation easy to receive because he wants everybody to partake of it. Same thing is true with healing. Same anointing that saves is the same anointing that heals. It's received the same way. So just receive tonight. Amen? You don't have to try to earn God's love. He already loves you. You can't be good enough anyway. Luke chapter 5 and verse 17. It came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching. That's what I'm doing tonight, right? That there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to what? To heal who? Now, I'm not going to go into this story, but in this story, them didn't get healed. One got healed. It was the guy who they let down from the roof to get to Jesus. So if the power of the Lord was present to heal them, how do you tap into that power that's already there while he was teaching? How do you tap into it? Say that again. Give me an F. Give me an A. Give me an I. Give me a T. Give me an H. What you have? Faith. Putting all your trust in God. That means that if you are dealing with an issue in your body or in your mind tonight, you must do something to show that you really believe. You must act on your faith. If you believe that Jesus is the healer, then you will come up when it's time to lay hands and you will just simply receive. You will act on that. Believers act on what they believe. Believers do what they believe. That's how you know, that's how faith operates. You make a choice and then you do it. Woman with the issue of blood, she said, if I shall touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. What did she have to do? She had to touch his clothes because that's what she said. Now when you come up tonight, don't leave saying, well, nothing was done to me. I didn't fall down. Who says you got to fall down? You don't always have to fall down. Falling down, I mean, you could fall down just tripping. So falling down, whether you fall down or not, is not the determining factor of whether or not the anointing is working. See, when you're operating by faith, you may not see it or feel it in the natural, but you know it's there. See? So by faith, you have to receive what God said about it. All right? So God's power was there. God's power wants to right wrongs. Sickness is a wrong in God's eyes, and his power makes it right. God's power wants to restore things, and God's power can be accessed by faith. And we all have faith because the Bible says God gives you faith. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word. And since you're hearing the word tonight, you have faith. You can't say, well, I didn't get any faith. If you're hearing God's word, faith is going forth. All right? So you got to trust with your faith on that. And go with me to Matthew chapter 9. Well, no, Mark chapter 10. And I'm getting ready to transition here. Mark chapter 10. I mean, after all, you can give me a little bit more time. This is the last service of 2010, right? I mean, nobody's in. We need to stop judging whether or not a service is good depending on how long it goes. Sometimes we got to allow God to work. It's not a drive-through. All right? You can't drive up and put it in order and, you know, you're not guaranteed to get it if it doesn't arrive in 30 minutes. You've got to give God some time. Amen? If you give God some time, he'll give you some power. So don't be in a hurry. Okay? Mark chapter 10, verse, well, this is, let's go to verse 49. This is with Bartimaeus. All right, he cried out and got Jesus' attention. You know, sometimes you got to do something to get his attention because he wants to know that you're really in faith. Okay, why didn't Jesus stop the first time he said something? You ever notice that? Let's take a look at this for a minute. Verse 46. He came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus... See, that's the key. He heard Jesus. He heard the word of God. He began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. How come Jesus didn't stop the first time he cried out? You notice that? You notice his voice had to be louder than the crowd. Think about that for a minute. It's what gets the most oil? The squeaky gear? Many charged him that he should hold his peace. Are you kidding me? I'm blind and my miracle is passing me. I'm not letting my miracle pass me by. I don't care who tells me to be quiet. I'm not going to be quiet until I get what I came for, and that's my sight. He cried the more, praise the Lord, a great deal. Thou son of David, have mercy on. Jesus stood still. He knew that this guy was serious. See, Jesus needs to know that you're serious, that you're not just playing around. Well, I'll try it. It's nothing about trying. You come and receive. That's with confidence, with faith. You don't say, I'm going to try it. Faith is not a try. It's not an attempt. It's an action. Jesus stood still, commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Take courage. He calls you. Casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Jesus answered and said unto him, what will you that should... The man was blind. And Jesus said, what do you want me to do? See, you got to be specific. The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might... Notice this word, receive. Everybody say, receive. My sight. He wanted to receive. Jesus. He knew that Jesus had the sight. He just needed to receive it from him. Verse 52, Jesus said unto him, go your way, your faith has made me whole. Did he say the power of God made him whole? Did he say the laying on of hands made him whole? He said, your faith made you whole. Notice this. He received. Everybody say received. He received his sight. All right? You know, it's just as easy to get on the side of healing as it is to get on the side of sickness. You can either agree with healing or you can agree with sickness. It takes just a simple decision either way. All right? You might as well get on the side of healing. You might as well get in agreement with God's word. All right? And know this, that when you put your trust in God's power, it is sufficient to do the job. All right? God's power can do anything. And the only limits that are on God's power are the ones we put on it. The only time we limit God's power is us. Did the Pharisees... Did the power of God affect them all the time? No, because they put a limit on God's power. They were self-righteous. They didn't think that they needed a Savior. And therefore, a lot of them did not receive the benefits. All right? But just one final scripture. Acts 10:38. How God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with his Holy Spirit and with strength and power. How he went about doing good. Everybody say doing good. And in particular, curing all who were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil, for God was with him. So we know that sickness is a work of the devil. See, so the devil may be harassing you in your mind and in your emotions. God wants to stabilize your emotions. Listen, he designed the body. He knows exactly what the body needs, right? If you're missing a chemical, he can add that chemical in an instant. He can add what you're missing. All right? And Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. He didn't come to say, oh no, I'm going to let those work. No, he came to destroy them. When you destroy a work, can it operate? If you blow up a car, can you drive that car? No. Well, Jesus, through his name, through the blood, through the power of the Holy Ghost, he blows up the works of the devil. All right? So now what we're going to do now is we're going to enter into a time of worship and praise. I want you to get saturated with God's presence, and then shortly after that, we're going to lay hands on you. Amen? So I want you to get into worship. Forget about who's around you. Forget about who's around you. Your focus is to be on Jesus. All right? He is the healer, so let's just focus in on him. You can stand or sit, whatever you want to do.
Yeah. If you want to stand up, let's stand together, and we're going to worship God about how awesome he is. Think about the goodness of God and what he's done in our life, and begin to receive from him tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Water you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God
in me, you will continue to do until it's a complete, finished work. I trust you. I trust in my healer. Healing is mine. By his stripes, I am healed. He wants me whole. Sickness will no longer steal from me or my family. I'm free in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Well, I think that's a good way to finish out this year. Amen? We're going to ask you to stretch forth your hands. These are prayer requests that we pray over every week, and we wanted to do it as part of this service for this special anointing. And also, too, if you want to honor the Lord with an offering tonight, this is the last time that you can get credit for it for this year. You can just put it in the back in the container there. And I want you to stretch forth your hands.
Thank you, Jesus.
Pray for these. Father, in the name of Jesus,
thank you, Father. We declare your
we pray over each and every one of these requests, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that your anointing will go forth and will do a great and mighty work. And these requests will know that there is a God in heaven, Father. I thank you for healing every broken body, Father, healing every lost soul, saving every lost soul, Father, touching every need in this container in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that you will have your way. Holy Ghost, have your way in these requests. And I thank you, Lord, that you will do a great and mighty work, and we will hear the good testimonies, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that every name that represents a person, Father, Lord, that you're doing a great work in that family, in that individual, in that person, Lord. You're the healer. Lord, you bind up every wound. You heal every broken heart. Father, the good news is preached to them that are poor, Father. Captives, Lord, are set free in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we proclaim the year of Jubilee over these requests, Father. We say that everything be restored to them as it was in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, I would encourage you to find some scriptures that specifically talk about healing and meditate on them, read them, confess them, study them. Amen? You know, because it's just as easy to lose your healing. You can get healed and then, you know, out of mind, out of sight, out of mind. But you got to keep that before you. Feed on God's word. It is health to your soul. Amen? So, and let's go into 2011 whole so that God can use us to the maximum. Amen? He wants to be able to use you. He has given you power to be a witness. So be a witness. Be a billboard for how good God is. And just go in places and say, look at what God has done for me. Let me tell you what God has done for me. Amen? And if you don't have a home church, I would encourage you to come here Sunday at 10 a.m. It's going to be our first service in January of 2011. We're looking forward to great things this coming year. We're going to focus on, I'll say that more on Sunday. But some of the things I can say, we're going to focus more on missions this coming year. We're going to focus on the lost. Amen? We're going to come in contact with people who don't go to church at all. And we're going to see them accept the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Amen? And we're going to do a lot of training this year. We feel like this is a time to raise up leaders, and leaders need to be trained and equipped. Amen? So those are some of the things that we're going to do. Men, if you're involved in depth or if you'd like to be tomorrow at 10 a.m. and at 7 p.m., we resume our depth class. And ladies, if you don't have a place the second Saturday, it was at January 8th, it's going to be Woven Women of Victory, enjoying new life. So we got something for everyone. Amen. Find a place where you can get involved and let God use you. And let's just finish this out this year on a high note. And if you're out and about New Year's Eve, spread the good news. Amen. Hey, because there's no party like a Holy Ghost party. The Holy Ghost knows how to, he's planned a party 6,000 years in advance. That man knows how to party. Amen? So we've got joy. Take the joy with us. Don't leave home without it. All right? And just want you to finish out this year great and wonderful. Father, we just thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for touching us, healing us, ministering to us. Father, you're so good and gracious. We give you all the praise and all the glory, and we honor you and bless you, and we magnify you, Father, and we thank you, Lord, that as we close out this year, Lord, and we get ready for next year, Father, we just make ourselves available. We say, here we are, Lord. Use us. Work through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Y'all have a great night, and we'll see you.